For CJLO News, I'm Alexandre Denis. Concordia students protested the university's inaction on sexual violence Friday morning. The protesters demanded the university work faster to address policies on sexual violence. Student pressure comes after numerous complaints of inappropriate behavior from professors, most notably in the English and creative writing departments. Demands also include increased transparency when it comes to investigation of sexual assault. Current privacy laws forbid the university from informing students about the result of internal investigations, meaning victims cannot know the outcome of their complaints. The school acknowledges the protesters' demands, but says it has a process to follow when it comes to updating policies. In other university news, McGill has finally agreed to drop the Redmen name from its sports teams. The change comes after a campaign from students and Indigenous groups to get the name removed. In a November referendum, 80% of McGill students voted in favor of a name change. While supporters argue the name was not racist in origin, University President Suzanne Fortier acknowledged that the name was hurtful to Indigenous students. McGill's sports team will be nameless during the next academic year, while a committee works to choose a new name. The famous black hole that was pictured for the first time on Wednesday now has a name. It is called Poveʻi and was named by Hawaiian language professor Larry Kimura. It means the adorned fathomless dark creation, or embellished dark source of unending creation. The name comes from an 18th century Hawaiian creation chant. The black hole was given a Hawaiian name because two of the telescopes involved in the imaging were in Hawaii. The name has not yet officially been approved by the International Astronomical Union, but they have previously accepted a name suggested by Professor Kimura. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Please stand by.
Please stand by.
There is no beauty, only ugliness. There is no glamour, only ghastly blemish. All romance disfigured. All morals monstrous.
CJLO, 1690 AM. This is Grade A Explosives with me, Andrew, and oh man, there's so much for me to go over today. There's a lot of talking today. So much talking. So much. First off, I'm going to start capping off some of the South by Southwest coverage I did, which not as much as last year. I won't have as many interviews, but you know, I'm intersplicing it with stuff that is from here in Montreal. So that you can be like, oh, I should listen to these things. And then I can say, yes, you should. Hmm? Yes, that's what I thought. That is what I thought. So, let's start off first with some South by Southwest stuff. First, I'm going to have an interview that I did with a band from Long Beach, California called Drainage. It's their very first interview. I know. I feel so proud. I mean, of them, not of me. I obviously do a terrible job, but they do a good job at this interview. So, you know, there's that. So, that's first. Then after that, I have an interview with the Munsons from Colorado, who played at South by Southwest at a show at Maggie May's on the first night we were there, the Wednesday, the 15th. That sounds right. That sounds very right. Here's the sad thing about Drainage. I didn't even get to see them perform because I was out by that point. And then the second half of the show, I have an interview with West of Hell, who are going to be playing tonight at Piranha Bar along with X-Pain, which will be a good show and you should go to it. But first, let's start off with a track from Drainage. We can see where we go from there. This is from their self-titled record. This is Inmost Soul. And you should keep it locked, because then you'll hear an interview with them here on CJLO 1690 AM. Enjoy all of this. Hey everybody, this is Andrew. I am joined by some special guests from the band Drainage. I will let them intro themselves because I have gotten into trouble for saying band members' real names and things because, you know, mysterious bands and all of that. So, good people, tell us who you is and what you do's in Drainage.
My name is Denise, and I play bass in Drainage.
And I'm Enrique, and I play guitar and sing.
All right.
Yeah.
We've done well so far.
Yeah.
I figure that by the time bands get to me, they've already done, like, a bunch of interviews. So.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're popping our cherry here.
No, it's not the first interview you guys have done.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh. Well, yeah. Then.
Oh, now they keep blushing.
All right.
We,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of scared.
If that's the case, then we can get this out of the way. Now, whenever I interview a band or a band has done no interviews before, I am allowed to ask this question, and at no other time is anyone allowed to ask it. So, how did you guys get your name?
I saw him.
I think I read it, and I was like, that would be a good name for a band.
All right, everyone, that's it. You can never ask this question again.
Give me 10 years.
That's it.
That's a lot.
Now you can change it all the time now, like from there on out. Well, you guys, I read that you're from Long Beach, California.
Yeah.
And yet your music, it totally like harshes my mellow, man. So like, what's up with that? Like, why are you, what do you have to be so
what's
mad
wrong?
About? It's so nice there, and yeah. It's warm all the time.
True, but there's a lot of people, and they're really annoying most of the time.
All right, that's a fair thing.
Yeah. A lot to get off your chest. It's like a big, small town.
All right. So is it like, do you know everybody kind of around?
Yeah, if you're like in any kind of scene or in anything like creative in any way, everyone's like, everyone's in it, and everyone knows everyone, and everyone... business. It's one of those.
Yeah.
All too well do I know that, especially in Montreal, where if you are one of the dirty Anglos that like metal, there are very few of you to go over. I mean,
it's weird.
That's like, what people say.
People, like, there's a rad sense of community where everyone really supports each other, but there's just like this weird aspect to it where it's like people are just weird. It's almost like they'll support you to a certain extent, and then they're like, "No, we're good."
Huh? Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's really weird. I've been there most of my life, and I've noticed that.
Huh. It's odd that you should say that, because in Montreal there's something similar where it's difficult for bands to kind of get past a certain point, because once they do, everyone starts to turn on them. Like, they've become too popular now, so now we have to, like, you know, say terrible things about them and, like, talk about how bad they are as a band.
Pick them apart.
Yeah. That's... Okay.
Yeah.
That's... So
no one leaves Long Beach to see your band if you're from there as well.
All right.
Yeah. You do really well there. You're good.
You go to play LA, they're not going to go see you. You know, you go to play the festival, then no one from Long Beach is going to go.
All right. That's weird.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. They like to stick to their own little town.
Well, let's talk about your music now that we've talked about Long Beach enough, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Do this. In 2017, you guys put out your self-titled record. Some bands have told me that at least on their first record, they try and make a definitive like statement about who they are. What kind of statement do you think you guys were trying to put out with your record?
It's kind of a confusing thought. The songs are written... A couple of the songs were written way before we were actually a band.
Okay.
Because I just did it by myself. And then I had another band, Rodent, before, and that didn't work out, so I took a couple of their songs, and made them Drainage songs. She changed the bass line. So I guess what I was going for then, really I was just trying to write music, because no one else would... Like, I just wanted to write music the way I thought it should be written, I guess.
Mm.
And so I hopped on guitar. I'm usually a drummer, so I hopped on guitar, started playing that. I had no, like, direction, really. Trying to just, like, get it out, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And then James came along, and we all became a band. Really, it was just to get the songs out. You know? I don't know.
Did you happen to hear any of the other stuff?
Anything?
The first like tiny demo that he did by himself.
The only things I've heard are what's on the camp of bands, camp. As it were.
I don't know if
it's it's on there. The two songs.
Yeah.
Like, has way more of like an industrial vibe. Really, just like crazy tone, and just like you can tell it's just like he's like doing his thing, and then it kind of morphed into this like heavy full thing. Obviously, once like we get like drums and bass, and like that was it, and then there was this moment where it was like, oh, we're gonna go this way, you know, like, because he's got this crazy tone, and once, you know, you get drums and bass, it like totally changed the whole thing. So it was like we wanted to like keep that, but there's kind of no way to just keep it like that without being so big, so we kind of just went with it, and now it's like this, I don't know, it's like the next version of that, I guess. I don't know, but we still constantly talk about like we gotta go back to that original idea, because it was just like him in a basement making music, which was rad.
Do you think that, I mean, obviously you took some of the songs that you had and adapted them. Did you find that it was, I mean, with this group, did you find it was easy to write new stuff? Or was it, like, what was the process like for you guys to do that? Was it just like, we're jamming in a room and, like, this feels good, we're going to go with it? Or did you?
Kind of. Yeah, it was kind of like that. Yeah, it was kind of like that, the whole process. It was pretty easy. Yeah,
I played guitar previously. I'd never played bass before.
Oh.
So when they approached me and asked me to play bass, I was kind of like, I don't know, guys. Like, I don't really... Okay, you know. And then I plugged in one day, and I was like, I mean, I just get to be heavy and just, like, groove. Like, what? You know, it's less stressful than playing guitar in my other band. I was like, this is great. And then I think him being a drummer and writing guitar riffs as a drummer, and then me being a guitarist and trying to write bass lines but still riff on the bass, just created this like kind of weird dynamic. And I just went from there, and our drummer was just like crazy at the time. He was like, okay, I'll do this, and he would just go off on these tangents, and we're like, oh, that works. It was an interesting process.
It was
trying to figure it out.
CJ Lowe and Blue Skies Turn Black presents California indie folk duo Girlpool, live at Bar Laritz on Sunday, April 21st. Touring in support of their critically acclaimed release, What Chaos Is Imaginary, Girlpool will be joined by Australian singer-songwriter Hatchie and Brooklyn-based pop artist Claude. Tickets are $17 in advance or $20 at the door. For more information, visit blueskiesturnblack.com or check out Blue Skies Turn Black on Facebook.
If you like served with a side of a little bit of and a heaping helping of then you're gonna love BVST, your best and worst of rock and roll, country, punk and metal, every Wednesday from 7 to 9 right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Jello. So cool, we're from the future.
Rot Retract off of their self-titled record, That's Drainage. That's some good stuff from Long Beach, California. And if you heard anything before that, it was probably me chatting with Drainage I got to talk with them when I was at South by Southwest when they played at Northwest Terror Fest? Northwest Hesh and Terror Fest? Terror Fest and Northwest Hesh Fest. Got it. Third time's a charm. That's what they say. It was an unofficial part of South by Southwest. And by that, I mean it happened during South by Southwest. It seems to be the big part of it. Terror Fest, the day beforehand, had Conan play. And they're going to be here in Montreal coming up in the near future, which will be good. In fact, you know what? I should look up when that is so that I can tell you when it's happening. I have a feeling it's going to be, as I recall, it's going to be at Turbo House. Oh, yes. June 28th. So if you're like, whoa, that sounds awesome, then you have just been informed of something very exciting. Good friends. Good friends. So you heard part one of the interview I did with Drainage, so let's just keep rolling on and do part two, I suppose. That seems like the best way to go about this. Play part one, followed by part two. Huh. Weird how that works, right? Anywho, here's part two of this interview with Long Beach band Drainage. If they're playing anywhere around you, and they will be talking about that during this part of the show, you should definitely, or this part of the interview, which is also part of the show, that actually worked now that I think about it. Anyway, if they're playing anywhere around you, you should definitely check them out because it is loud and good. So here's part two of the interview I did with Drainage down in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest. Keep it locked. This is Great Explosive, CJLO 16 Andrew AM? I mean, that's true. I am Andrew and this is AM. That works. 1690 AM. This is Andrew. Great A Explosives. Keep it locked.
Well, you're a band that's kind of mixing a lot of different genres. You know, some like noise stuff and doom and all of these other things. A lot of bands kind of, I find there's two kind of frames of mind when you're dealing with bands that kind of can be described in multi-genre things. One is kind of an aggressive apathy of like, we don't care what people call us. We're just going to play music. And the other is, no, we are this type of band, and you can't call us anything else. Which do you guys sit under? Or do you have a third option, perhaps, that I have not encountered yet?
I wish we had a third option. Yeah. I think it's more the first. We're like, we just want to play. We get thrown in, like, sludge. We get thrown in, like, the doom category.
Yeah, and our influences are all over the place.
Other, you know?
So whatever comes out, we're just like, all right, we'll go with that.
Play, yeah, like, really bad grind shows where, like, we're the odd band out, which actually we love being the odd band out because we're like, we don't really know where to place ourselves. So it's kind of, you guys place us somewhere, and then we're just going
to
play.
So then does it make it easier for you guys to get booked on various things? Because there's a lot in Montreal, it seems like you kind of have to fit into a box to get put on a lot of different things.
Yeah, we kind of have that there.
Yeah, most of the metal scenes like that. They like want every single band to be like, it's all black metal, all death metal, all whatever metal, right?
Yeah, there's no more eclectic
shows anymore. But yeah, I guess we get thrown on different stuff. It's like kind of power violence, kind of hardcore, kind of metal every time, right? It's like pretty much a mix.
Is it different depending on like what day you're playing, kind of how you guys are sounding? Because there's a lot of bands that that are kind of doing multiple things. I've spoken with them and they've been like, yeah, on certain days we're more of a punk band, on other days we're more of a death band.
That's funny. No.
That would be smart, but no.
Well, I'm guessing that since 2017 was the release of the record, that you guys may have new stuff that you've worked on since then. Is there kind of a, have you guys recorded anything? Are you, like, getting ready to record?
Like, right after we get home, we should be recording. We're going to do two songs and a cover for a split with this band, Struck Nerve, from Vegas. And then we want to do the full length after that.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully by the end of the year, but probably vinyl by this time next year, I would think.
Okay. You said full length, and that's good because that makes this transition much easier. There's a lot of bands that I've spoken with that are like, oh, we want to do EPs now. Like, that's what we're going to do. People have very short attention spans. We're going to put out a bunch of EPs. Are you guys, do you guys have preferences as far as like EP versus full length type of scenarios? Like, which do you guys prefer?
I would rather do a full length. It's like at least 9 songs on something, you know, so you can sit there listening to the whole thing. But I guess you're right. People are kind of like short attention spans now. It's kind of different. I'd say full length. I like full length.
Yeah, I like the idea of like creating, like you create the atmosphere for a little while. That's up to 5 songs. It's like 9 songs, 10 songs. You're like, oh, because that's how it was when we were kids. You like listen to an album.
Yeah.
What a weird concept.
Like, from beginning to end, you're like, oh, you go through all the feels, like you do the whole thing. And it's, that's how we grew up, like that, like super into music, super into albums.
Yeah.
You mean you don't just want a playlist full of random songs to throw together? Like, isn't that what you want your band to be? Just a playlist of songs? Let me ask you about the internet, which is a band and something that is kind of, also as a fan of music, I struggle with, so I like to hear what bands think of it. Because on one hand, the internet has given bands so many opportunities to do things. On the other hand, it has made it almost impossible to make any kind of a living being a band. What kind of is your guys' thoughts on how the internet is for music? Is it more positive? Is it more negative?
I think it's positive. I mean, I find out about a lot of shit online.
I think we're pretty positive, but I think we wish we were better at the internet.
Oh, yeah, we suck at that.
If we were, like, people are just really good at it these days, and, like, their priorities just, like, are, like, in that zone, you know? And sometimes we forget about it, and we forget about how much of a tool it really can be, instead of just, like, let's just make music and put it out and see what happens. You have to be aggressive online these days, and, like, it's rough if you're not naturally just like that. But yeah, I think we're pretty positive about it. I don't think anyone's trying to, like, we're not trying to be rock stars, you know? Like, we're not trying to get our jobs.
All right, I'll put my boots
away. That would be great, but.
Well, let's move from a positive thing to something a bit more negative. What's the worst musical instrument?
Oof.
The worst musical instrument?
Yeah.
Oh, talking about band nerd, that's hard.
The thing that's, I just got done talking to a band from Japan, and I've asked this question to a lot of bands, and even a band from Japan had to pause and think about what their answer was in order to get this. This is the question that bands struggle with the most.
Yeah, I don't know. The steel drum?
Steel drum?
Oh.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. That and a harmonica, I guess. I don't know.
Harmonica comes up quite a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah, it's like it seems difficult, and then you do it, and then you're just like, you're bored. You're bored from the harmonica. Unless the guy's killing it, you know? You're like, okay, that's impressive.
Have you ever seen a bathtub play the harmonica? It's pretty fun.
In the bathtub?
Yeah, you just in the bathtub.
No, I'm going to have to try that. We'll put that answer on hold.
Pause, everyone. We'll come back to this at another time.
I didn't know I could answer that question. I'm going back to band where I'm like, oh, shut up. I'm not a big fan of the oboe, but how often is an oboe used anywhere?
That might.
It's very annoying.
It might be why it's the worst musical instrument, because nobody uses
the
it.
Oboe.
All right. Okay. So you guys are playing tomorrow here at South By at Terrorfest. I think that's the correct name for it. I always am getting it wrong. So
in Northwest Hesh Fest.
That's the
worst. So after that, what's on the horizon for you guys besides your recording? What does the rest of your like 2019 look like?
We have a show when we get back with Great Falls and what's the other band? Great Falls, we're stoked to play with. Right. Yeah, we were trying hard to get on the show. Huh?
Eris?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And our buddies in Graf Warlock, they're like, hey, we can't play. You guys want to play the show? And we're like, oh, yeah. And so we got on the show, you know. After that, we played with this band called At the Heart of the World. They're on Glory Kid. They're more like, they're like more Godflesh, like more synth type. But heavy Godflesh type.
I really like what you're saying.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
Now.
You check them out. They're an amazing band.
Like these kinds of shows and then these kinds of shows.
Yeah, Great Falls is more of like Great Falls is more of like hardcore-ish, Neurosis influences, really heavy stuff. The members of like Playing Enemy, Yesu, Undertow, those kind of bands and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's really good if you have.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right.
And then we got one more show after that, and it's with Armed for Apocalypse. I'll be honest, I've never heard them, but our friends in Benoit, they asked us to play the show, so we're going to do that. All
right.
That's all.
Yeah, we're kind of in a like transition right now, so we're just...
Yeah, we do need to sit and write, so...
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to sit and chat with me.
Yeah, of course.
CJLO 1690 AM. That's from the Limb Thin demo by Drainage. And you could see that, old Drainage, like they were talking about in the first part of that interview, is much different from second Drainage. So I guess write to them and be like, hey, we like this Drainage better, and insert whatever one you want and give them, I don't know, some feedback. Everyone loves feedback. I mean, I don't, because I don't need it. Because we all know that already, though, because, you know, that's what this show is all about. Me telling you what's good and you saying, thank you, Andrew. You've done so well in educating us. And let's not say anything different about it. Anyway, that was Drainage from Long Beach, California. I would give you a place where you could look them up on the social medias, but I don't know if they have any, which is something they were talking about. You can listen to all of this on their Bandcamp, which is drainage-music.bandcamp.com, and you can check out their self-titled EP along with that Lamb Thin demo whenever you so choose. It's up to you when you would like that. Of course, that interview you heard was at South by Southwest, and that wasn't the only band I chatted with at South by Southwest. I also got to talk to a band called The Munsons. They are from Colorado, and they played at the Black Smoke Conjuring Show, which was real good, and had Death Chant, and Them, and War Cloud. Ugh, it was real good. Real good. You guys definitely should have gone there. That was an official South by Southwest thing, so me talking about it is extra points for my press coverage. I think it's all pretty much points for press coverage, so, you know, that's good for that. So here's an interview, part one of an interview I did with the Munsons, and we'll hear a track by them in between, and they're fairly long, all of them. So it'll be a pretty long set of interview/songs. So enjoy this. I'm going to get right to it, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Keep it locked. This is Great Explosives, CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Munsons down at Austin, South by Southwest. And again, like all things done at a loud venue, apologies for some of the sound quality on this.
Hey everybody, this is Andrew. I am here with some special guests, and I will let them intro themselves because I've gotten in trouble for saying people's names when they have pseudonyms in bands. So, good sirs, tell the people who you is and what you do in the Munsons.
No pseudonyms here. All right. Straightforward. I'm Mike, and I play bass and sing in the Munsons.
I'm Sean, I do guitar and vocals.
I'm Graham, I go by Bulldozer, I play drums.
Alright, so one pseudonym, excellent, good. I'm going to start this interview off the way I start off every interview. I figure by the time bands get to me, they've already been asked tons of questions. So what's one question that you don't want to be asked or are tired of answering? If I have it on this list, I'll strike it, you won't have to answer it.
Influences.
Influences? Alright. Question 61, down. All right. Okay, good, good. Well, let's clear up some confusion right off the bat. I've been looking you guys up and doing some research, and I see that a lot of Munson NJ coming up. Now, what part of Colorado is NJ?
Is that by La Junta?
Oh.
So the band, and I'll give you the brief version. So Sean and I grew up in New Jersey. We started the band as kind of a late night jam project in New Jersey with a friend of ours. So what you're referencing for sure is Munson's NJ.bandcamp. So that's where that one started and stayed with the reluctance to change it. And is our email Munson's NJ too? Our email might have it too, and if it does, it's the same reason. Him and I were both in Colorado by 2011.
Yeah.
Or no, by 2009. I came in 2007, he came in 2009, and we've been in Colorado since, but just didn't feel like changing the URL, I guess.
Well, I mean, fair enough. There's worse reasons that I've heard the bands don't change something.
Yeah.
And mainly it's we just don't want to.
If somebody knows and anyone reads this or knows of a Bandcamp feature that lets you change your URL and keep your page super down.
Yeah, you know you can change it once.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about the new record, Unhanded. Would you say that this record is kind of a natural progression for you guys as far as how you've been going in your discography?
Yes.
It's sure.
I think it, no, for sure. So I used to play drums in the band, and the other guy that was sort of the band would play guitar. And when he joined the band, I switched to guitar, and he joined on drums. And it kind of created like a whole new band, more or less.
Shit.
Yeah, like because we had two new members. So I was playing a new instrument, essentially, and we had a new drummer. So it kind of created a new sound. And I think over the years we kind of just evolved away from what we were doing.
Yeah.
Naturally, it's not like we were trying to, hey, let's write songs like this. It's just that's what kind of came out in the jam.
We were headed that direction, and I think, yeah, like Graham coming on drums and Sean jumping to guitar just accelerated that, you know. Instead of it happening over the course of a couple records, it was boom, new lineup, here's a new record.
I've talked with a lot of bands who have kind of switched their sounds. Are there songs now that you guys are just like, we're never going to play this song again? Like, we put it to recording, we really liked it at the time, but now, like, it's just way too far from what we used to do.
Yeah,
most
of our first two.
Yeah, but I'm not different. I played anything off the last thing. Ivy Rose one for me is
I'm the first one.
Like the first stuff we didn't learn, like we never even played the Way to Night stuff with Graham.
Hmm.
Graham played on Ivy Rose album, and we probably would. You know, it's not that we had some aversion to it. It's just that, you know, hey, pick your top six songs from a set. You know, the first five are going to come from the first album. And, you know, we had prepped Abbey Rose for this tour, but haven't played it. So I don't know if it's that it's too far away that we wouldn't play it. It's more just given the preference, you know, we've played the new material and the stuff that we kind of wrote as of this unit.
I mean, it makes sense. The record is newly out.
Yeah.
What have people been saying about it? What have you gotten from response?
I mean, for the most part, I think people have been pretty psyched on it.
Positive. A lot of just talk about shift in genre and style.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest thing, is that, you know, mixing all these other sounds, you know, I don't like categorizing things, but, you know, black metal and hardcore and punk and those words used, which is true. You know, it's a lot of stuff that we grew up listening to. Answering your influences question.
I didn't even ask it. That's so nice of you.
But a lot of talk about shift, but
yeah,
in a good way.
Other, like any other really funny comments or anything that stood out. But yeah, overall, it's been well received, and for us, it's been the kind of most widely received. I mean, this was the first one that we've had both the material, or all of the material, the time, and the resources to put a full push behind the album. So obviously the band has grown in the time since our last release, but in it being a more substantial release, we've been able to get it out there more, do a bit more PR behind it, and yeah, I'd say largely the feedback is pretty good. I was trying to think of a really negative, really funny comment, but
I think people have stoked on it. I think a lot of people were still surprised. It took people off, you know,
off guard.
Guard a little bit. You know, they're like, whoa,
I think it's still getting out there for sure. Like, I think in our little world, like, it's bounced around. But for us, I know that we'd like to, you know, keep pushing it out there and get some more ears on it. In doing so, I'm sure we'll get feedback across the spectrum.
Well, the switch in sound, you guys said that it was kind of like a natural progression, but did you find it harder to kind of write to this new change?
Not necessarily. I would say that the change was just dictated by what we were writing.
Okay.
In that what ended up on the album was what was coming out of us, and it probably would have been more effort to try to adhere to the sound that we had published previously.
Huh.
I think that this writing process with the new lineup was just, hey, well, this is the first time we're doing this, let's, whatever's coming out, let's roll with it, instead of, no, it needs to be slower, doomier, this, and like you know, and make sure that it lined up with the rest of everything.
Yeah.
And maybe we could have changed the band name when he joined the band, but we said, okay, we had put our work in for years, like, with that name, and rolled with it, and I don't think it's weird to change sounds by album. A lot of bands do it.
Yeah,
I actually like when bands do it. It keeps things fresh.
It's good to have a, you know, good repertoire too that you can kind of like pull from in case you're like, uh-oh, this crowd is not doing this. Let's pull something else quick. Yeah. Throw it out there.
Les productions Nuit d'Afrique présentent la 13e édition des Célidors de la musique du monde. Les Célidors, unique distinction musicale qui souligne les talents des artistes de la musique du monde, vous invite à découvrir 36 groupes de musique du monde. Dans le cadre de ces concerts vitrines gratuits, venez voter pour vos artistes coup de cœur tous les mardis et mercredis, jusqu'à 18 avril au Club d'Alatou. Les Célidors, le prix du public qui fait grandir le monde. Pour plus d'informations, www.celidors.com.
Do you feel like there's too much happiness and joy in your life? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. It is the sublime state of doom. I will play only the heaviest and most brutal doom, grindcore, black metal, death metal, and thrash metal. 8 o'clock on Mondays, only on CJLO.
CJLO 1690 AM. That's the Munsons off of their album, Unhanded. That's the track, the title track, as it were, off of the record. And that before that, you heard me chatting with the three members of the band before they played at South by Southwest, being just great at all the things they were doing. And so now, I guess it would be very prudent of me to play the second part of the interview with them and then allow you to see how that wraps up. Of course, if you missed any of this, you can go to the CJLO website and listen to it and be like, oh, yes, all of this is very good. Thank you for this information that you've given, Andrew. This is very good. Before that, you also heard an interview with Drainage, some tracks from them. They're from Long Beach, California. I would, again, tell you how to get them on the Book of Faces, but they don't seem to have one, which is probably smart. I mean, I'm torn on that because, like, there are a couple other bands that I know of that have sent me stuff and they don't have a Facebook page. And I deeply respect that because Facebook is terrible and I want it to burst into flames. But also, it's very hard to promote yourself if you don't have the social medias. So I'm torn as to if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm going to side that it's a good thing, though. So good for you, Drainage. Keep it up. Make sure that Facebook doesn't get more powerful. You guys, I really hate Facebook a lot, in case you don't know. Just letting you know. Anyway, after the second hour of the show, West of Hell is going to stop by. They're going to be chatting. And also, an interview with Sledgehammer, who are going to be playing here, along with War Pit for War Pit's EP launch, which, you know, I don't want to brag, but we kind of let you listen to their album before their EP launch, thanks to the Metal March Bandvent calendar. You know, I don't want to brag, but I just did. So there. So here's the Munsons, the second part of the interview with them that I did at Maggie May's at South by Southwest. I'll have to talk more about South by Southwest at some point in time, but there's a good amount of metal this year, although it was all basically playing at the same time, which is disheartening. And I definitely need to tell you guys about a band called Asterism. You should check them out. They're very good. But here's the Munsons. Keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM. This is Grade A Explosives.
Let me ask you guys about, as far as I know, this record is out independently that you guys put out, or is it on a label that...
It's on a local Denver label called Sailor Records.
Okay.
That we kind of teamed up with for this release, and we're still very much involved, so I can see why it kind of seems like a DIY push. We're still doing a lot of the promo and the marketing, but yeah, we partnered with Sailor out of Denver, and they helped us with the pressing.
Okay. Is it just they're doing pressings for it? Because I'm always interested to hear what bands think, like now in 2019, being that the music industry has changed exponentially, what a label, like what bands think a label should do for them or what it can provide to them.
I think that it's all just contextual. You know, if we had jumped in with a much bigger label, I think I would have higher expectations and would require a little more. But with Sailor, he was kind of a good friend of ours, you know, very transparent. We kind of understand where he's coming from and the working relationship there. So yeah, we were really happy with this deal, and it was a perfect fit for us. But generally it was, and this is pretty common, it's kind of a split between the band handling the recording production and the label handling the physical product production.
Yeah.
There's some sort of split in the product at the end, so everyone gets theirs. But yeah, I'm happy with it. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Pretty like low-key, no contract, yeah. Handshake kind of deal, you know.
Yeah. Right. And for us, I mean, first, you know, we hadn't worked with anyone before, and you know, we were, I'd say, pretty particular about what we wanted, and being able to work with someone on a handshake deal like this was meant a lot to us, and we trust them, and it's been great so far.
All right. Let me do a 180 in my question. There's a lot of bands, and I even saw it tonight with Death Chant, has a hot sauce, so there's a lot of bands that are doing food and drink tie-ins. Oh, there's pointing going on here. So, what's if there was a Munson's food drink tie-in, what would do you guys think it would be?
Well, if you handle the obvious one, I'll think so. I make hot sauce.
Oh, do you?
And the Munson mango mash was my first hot sauce. So there is a habanero mango Munson sauce, not on the market, but I sell it hand to hand with friends at home. I've expanded. I do all types of sauces now. But yeah, that's the obvious answer.
Yeah.
Next would probably be, so we're on the road, we bring a 2-burner grill.
Okay.
And we cook a lot of meals on the road. The Bulldozer's known for his risotto. More of a taco guy. So I think if anything was to come out, it'd be maybe a Munson's on the road tour.
DIY cookbook.
Yeah. I just have to save money. Just a lot of hours. So that would be next. Yeah. Our custom highway line of cooking products. Yeah, maybe like a burner that doesn't bounce around too much.
There was one time when we cooked in the car while we were driving.
Yeah, we definitely cooked in the van.
So a ventilation system to get the gas out.
Yeah,
it'll be a top to bottom on the road cooking.
Yeah, it's a to-go DIY kitchen, pull over parking lot.
We had taco night, risotto night, and then obviously we do this soup thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's funny. This tour we haven't done nearly as much, but yeah, we always bring it with us, and we always joke that we'd like to do a tour where we're 100% camping, self-sufficient in the van, but we haven't gotten there yet.
What's the worst musical instrument?
Ukulele.
Ukulele, that's quick, out of the gate.
Drum set with a metal big rack of toms.
Oh,
yeah.
Cage, yeah.
You got one? It's gotta be worse. I'm sure we paid it on something worse in the van.
Oh man, I'm missing something here. I think it's commonly used. No man, sometimes a tambourine in the wrong situation drives me nuts. But it works for some people.
And I'll ask two more. I think I can fit in two more before this band starts in. So you guys, obviously, you're a touring band. You go through. What's on tap in the van when you're listening, driving around? Like, what can you all agree on?
You're
like,
oh, you're totally doing this. The beer tap question. Another perfect one. Yeah, so we can plug our beer hookup.
Oh well, then you should do that somehow through what just happened.
I'll just say it. Ten Barrel Brewing gives us a whole bunch of beer.
All right,
take that on the road. So that
slurp it down.
In essence, is on tap.
So while you're drinking 10 Barrel, what are you guys listening to while you're...
A whole bunch of shit, honestly.
It says that the Munson's car playlist is pretty all over the map. I mean, we've got...
I have some of the most diverse music in a metal touring band.
Yeah, we all have a pretty wide range of taste.
So all the staples, you know, everything you would expect, and then... I don't know.
We go from mainstream hip hop to grindcore to some folky dish, some indie stuff. Like,
yesterday I was playing some Sam Cooke and Aaron Neville, some Pits of Soul.
Yeah. If you were listening quick, I snuck some.